Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. How you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing okay, Justin. How are you?
I was doing great on the way over. We had a horrible tornado warning watch, sirens going off, so that was fun. Almost canceled our whole evening, but here I am, and here we are recording.
Well, you know, honestly, things have been a little rough lately, but I got a really supportive card from Charlie at Insight. That's really cool. You know, some people may think that we don't need support. They're like, oh, you guys are doing great, but we're all human. Thank you very much, Charlie and Allie. But, you know, most of the podcasters we know are just incredible people. They're all very supportive of one another. So it's an incredible community. And, of course, our listeners are incredible, too. On the subject of that, please, if you get a chance, if you're willing to do us a little favor, go out to wondery.com/survey and fill that out. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. Helps out with our sponsors and stuff.
We just got back from CrimeCon, and it was really fun to meet everybody.
It's an amazing event, and if you're on the fence about going in the future, just get that basic standard pass and show up. If you want to hang out with podcasters, we know from experience, not just ourselves, but True Crime Garage and Insight and Once Upon a Crime and The Trail Went Cold, on and on and on. Everyone makes time for you because we're all excited to meet you. So get to CrimeCon.
And there's always meetups and stuff that are outside of it. But really, when you have 100 people trying to meet you, it's easier at CrimeCon when there's a shorter line.
Yeah, I think one person said it would have taken a linebacker to get to us.
We have our Minnesota meetup happening soon at Joseph's Grill.
June 16th. So be there. If you want more details, go to our Facebook page and click on the events tab.
We have Potter and Love coming up in August. So check our events tab for that also.
That's in New Orleans, which is where CrimeCon is going to be in 2019.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Late nights at work taking a toll on your skin? Do you find yourself staring at those dark circles in the mirror? Well, it's time to meet your new best friend, Dark Circle Defense Balm from Lumen. Lumen is a line of brilliant men's skincare solutions crafted especially for men who want to look and feel their brightest. Whether you're a seasoned skincare pro or a total newbie, Lumen Skin has got you covered. Lumen's Dark Circle Defense Balm is a lightweight gel that absorbs seamlessly into your skin to brighten your under eyes and instantly plump dehydration lines. It's basically an espresso shot for your eyes. The best part? Lumen will let listeners of this podcast try the product out for free. Yes, you heard that right. Free. Head to lumenskin.com/wondery and get your free trial of Dark Circle Defense and their other amazing products now. Say goodbye to tired-looking eyes and say hello to a new and refreshed you. Don't wait any longer. Your skin will thank you. That's lumenskin.com/wondery for your free trial.
So, Justin, you came to me with this story. And I'll just say a story. It's actually more than one story, but you've wanted to cover a number of similar cases all in one episode for a while now. And then suddenly you came up with this one. And why don't you kind of fill us in what this episode's going to be about?
Well, and I'm going to do my best to make this short and not about me, but I've worked in IT all my life, supporting from help desk to desktop to exec services to backup operators to server administration, domain admin. I've had a lot of titles, and most of my jobs have been in Overland Park in Leawood, Kansas, at or with Sprint, you know, reorged, rebadged, turned into Embark, turned into CenturyLink, lots of changes there. But while I was working in IT, you know, when you are working for a company, a corporation, most of the software you use needs to be supported by people in other countries. It's a very diverse group of people that you work with when you're in IT. While I was at Sprint, I had just friends everywhere that from all walks of life, from every nation, country I could ever imagine. And they were just my coworkers, and they were the people that I would hang out with after work. They were the people that I would have to call and get things accomplished, the project managers, the, you know, the database analysts, whatever it may be. There were some events that happened out in Kansas that I won't say followed me around, because they weren't following me around. They were just events that happened, but they happened very close by what I would call in my backyard. They happened to people that, maybe not people I knew personally, but it could have happened to my coworkers. It could have happened to anyone that I knew, because I worked in that field, and it's a very tight-knit community in IT out there. So there's two stories. I'll try to make the first one short, but working at Sprint on the Sprint campus, and then I moved on, but the Sprint campus is right next to a Jewish community center. In 2014, which I was no longer at the Sprint campus, but I had worked there for many years, there was a shooting at the Jewish Community Center, which is within walking distance of the Sprint campus. It is just right across a small field, probably a few hundred yards at best. A man named Fraser Glenn Cross, or Fraser Glenn Miller, had gone over there, had a shotgun, and gunned down two people in the parking lot. Then he went on to a Jewish assisted living center. So this is elderly people who are finishing out their lives in retirement. He drove over there, and a woman was walking out into the parking lot, and he pulled out his shotgun, and it misfired. So he went to his trunk, and he pulled out another shotgun, and he shot and killed her also. He was captured shortly thereafter that at a nearby grade school, and it was Sunday, so luckily there was no children at the school when the police officers apprehended him. He was an ex-KKK Grand Wizard. He had been arrested back in the mid-80s for gun charges and inciting violence. He was very anti-Semitic, to say the least. And in 2010, he had actually ran as a write-in on the ballot senator of Missouri. He had actually tried to become a state representative. And his whole drive was to reestablish the white race and wipe out the Jewish people, who he feels and blames for all his problems. Now, I worked at the Sprint campus, and literally this shooting happened. You would have been able to hear the gunshots. And this guy didn't attack anybody that I knew, but the two people that he killed in the parking lot, he killed a 14-year-old named Reet Underwood, who was going to the Jewish Community Center to enter a singing contest called Kansas City Superstar. He was with his grandfather, William Corcoran. Both of them were shot dead.
Yeah, William Corcoran and his grandson, Reet Underwood, they were at an audition for a singing competition. Reet was a Boy Scout. He had 22 merit badges, and he was working on becoming an Eagle Scout. And he was with his grandfather that day because his mother had taken his brother to a lacrosse game.
His grandfather had been a physician most of his life and had done very well for himself. He was just trying to help his grandson out and take him to this singing contest, and the mom was taking the other son out. This is a normal day for them.
Yeah, he was heavily involved in his family's lives, and he had 10 grandchildren, and relatives say that he made time for each and every one of them. The oldest one was 23 years old, and the youngest was just an infant.
Then he went on to the assisted living home, and he shot a woman named Terry Lamano. She was visiting her mother at the assisted living home. She was an occupational therapist and 53 years old when she was gunned down in that parking lot at Village Shalom. She typically attended the St. Peter's Catholic Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, Frazier, he thought he was killing Jewish people. It turns out, actually, that not one of his victims was Jewish. They were all Christian. The irony there, right? He was held on $10 million bond, so he's not getting bail. That's one good thing, right?
Well, so often when someone attacks people, we're saying, wow, you know, there was nothing about this person before this except they were quiet or whatever. And this guy has quite a history.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was he not on some sort of terrorist watch list or something?
He was on the Southern Poverty Law Center had him on a watch list, definitely. He was a highlighted anti-Semitic individual, white supremacist. He wasn't able to buy weapons because of his prior felony conviction back in the 80s. So he asked his friend, a man named John Rydell. They went to a gun store and a Walmart, and John purchased the weapons because he had a clean record and then immediately gave them to Frazier Glenn Miller. Frazier, he was, I think he was 73 years old at this time. He's not in the best health, but he had ran for office just 4 years prior. I think he got 7 votes, Aaron. So, you know, if we ever wanted to run for office, we could probably rack up more than 7 votes. His buddy John, who did the straw man purchase, was given probation for buying an ex-KKK Grand Dragon guns that he was intending to go kill Jewish people with. when he got to court, he told the judge that he didn't have any money, so he would need a public defender. And then he would ultimately fire all of his public defenders and represent himself. And really, this was so he could spread more of his hate rhetoric during trial, get it on the record. And he really didn't even defend himself. The most he defended himself was, if I had known they weren't Jewish, I wouldn't have shot them. That was literally his excuse, and he pleaded not guilty. Luckily, the jury found him guilty and handed him a death sentence, actually, which doesn't happen very often, especially in Kansas. So the 14-year-old Reet, his mother, Mindy, she actually found their bodies. She saw them after they'd been shot. And she got together with the Jewish Community Center, and they had a vigil. But this was a tough time, and it was really close to home for me. I had friends calling me saying, are you still at the Sprint campus? Are you okay? And, you know, this is sort of just a setup for what happens next. But Frazier Glenn Cross will ultimately get sentenced to death. And I think his family, actually, who has renounced him and has nothing to do with him, do not have his hateful rhetoric, do not feel the same way he does, they were pleading with the jury to give him a life sentence, because with a death sentence, he gets automatic appeals, and they know that he's just going to turn this into more of a circus, and he's just going to showboat his hateful rhetoric and just get that out there more and try to become a martyr for the white power movement. So even his family was saying, don't give him the death penalty, not because he doesn't deserve it, but because it'll be the only way to shut him up. So at this point in my career, I've now gone and been rebadged to Embark and then CenturyLink. And their building was located out in Gardner, Kansas, where I would drive out every day and work. And there was a sports bar in Gardner called Austin's that I ate lunch at literally every day I worked there. They have another location that's in Olathe. And I think I ate there a couple times. Garmin was located not too far away from Gardner. I'd pass it every day I'd drive into work. And I had heard great things about Garmin, the GPS company. And I always thought if I ever lost my job or needed to apply somewhere else, I'd probably apply there. That was just one of the things that I had in the back of my mind as a backup plan. On February 22nd of 2017, Adam Parenton had shown up to the Austin's bar in Olathe, where there were two men from India sitting, having a beer after work, watching the KU game. How very American, right?
Yeah, they were in America on visas. They were working for Garmin. They were Srinivas Kuchibotla and his good friend Alok Madasani.
So these guys, they're hanging out. They're regulars at Austin's. And if you ask the manager at Austin's, 80% of their clientele are regulars. So Adam, who's in his early 50s, shows up.
Adam also is wearing a shirt that has a lot of medals pinned to it, almost in a random fashion.
Yeah, he was an ex-Navy guy, but I have no idea if these medals were ones that he actually had earned or if he just picked them up at a military surplus store and feeling patriotic with his medals that day. He asks them, what country are you from? Are you here illegally? And Alok is kind of shocked and put off. He doesn't really know what to say because he's never been confronted like this. And his buddy, who's very goofy, is like, yeah, we're from India. We're just here. You know, they're really caught off guard. They're not sure what response there is, but they can see that this guy's angry.
Yeah, I think what Srinivas was trying to do was, you know, have a little humor with it and try to calm the guy down and It didn't seem to work.
So he yells at them, and other patrons and people that work at the bar see what's going on and try to intervene. Parenton says, "Why would you take their side over mine?"
That sounds like a paranoid statement to me.
Yeah, and when he says this, they understand, oh, we're white, you're white, they're not. We're taking their side over yours. He definitely establishes a divide here, and everyone knows what he means by this. They come over and intervene and escort Adam away. They say, you got to go.
And the guy that runs the place, he even told the guy, don't worry about your bill, just leave.
And he mills around the parking lot for a bit. He eventually leaves, but 25 minutes later, he comes back with a gun. He has like a towel over his head, and he's hunched over as if he's trying to conceal his identity.
When he comes back with the gun, now he's just angry. Now he's shooting. And Srinivas is facing him and takes the brunt of the shooting.
Yeah, he yells while he's pulling the trigger, "What do you have to say now?" His two intended victims, they're sitting outside on the patio, so he doesn't have to come into the restaurant to do this. But there are patrons out there, and the owner of Austin's has kind of got, you know, he's on high alert now, but this happens so fast that there's not much he can do. Now, he shoots Srinivas multiple times. Alok gets hit in the leg, and he dives down under the table and is trying to crawl away. He's just trying to survive, but he sees his friend, and he's just screaming, "Why did you do this? Why did you kill my friend?" Meanwhile, there's another patron at the bar named Ian Grillot, and when the shooting began, he was hiding under his table, and he says he counted 8 or 9 shots, and he figured that the guy was out of bullets. And so at that point, he jumped up and ran over to him to tackle him.
Grillot is actually former military as well, but he was a Marine.
Yeah, and he's a big dude. He's a big old country boy, and he's a really nice guy, and he hung out to watch the KU game, and just like everybody else, they were all there just to have a good time and have a beer. And he had actually intervened during the first altercation with Adam and had helped them escort him out of the restaurant. So he is now running up to tackle Adam. Adam turns on him and fires a shot into him. It goes through his hand, hits his collarbone, bounces over to the left side of his body, hitting his spinal cord and puncturing a lung. But even so, he has taken this man down. They struggle, but Adam Parrington gets away. He jumps in his car and he drives off. At 8:34, emergency services has come and started taking everybody away to the trauma center at KU Med. It's the closest hospital that has a trauma center for this. There are closer hospitals, but they would not be able to treat gunshot wounds.
Some of the patrons that were there did their best to help Srinivas out. Using napkins, towels, and even a shirt, they did their best to try and treat his injuries so that he could make it to the hospital.
But at 8:34, they pronounce him dead. Ian is not in good shape. They're having to put him in surgery. He's in critical condition. And Alok is in serious condition, but not as bad as Ian. And the funny thing is, Ian's in his hospital room getting worked on, and they keep saying there's two victims, one's in critical. And Ian kept thinking it was the other guy. At 10 p.m.,
the police go to the home where Srinivas lived with his wife, Suniyana. They ask her to sit down because they're going to give her the bad news. They tell her that her husband has been killed. She doesn't want to believe it at first. I mean, she just can't accept it.
She had just seen him that morning. They had exchanged text messages. He was saying that he was going to have a beer after work.
But she knew something had happened because she had been texting him. And she had tried to get him to just to come home so that they could go get some tea. And then he had stopped messaging her back. So I think she knew it's the news you just don't want to get.
At 12:40 that night, a bartender at an Applebee's in Clinton, Missouri, which is a bit of a drive away, calls authorities and says, a man came in here and he sat down at the bar and proclaimed that he needed a place to hide because he had just killed two men from the Middle East.
He had said that he had killed two Iranians. The good news here is that this woman called the authorities. And she even said, don't show up with your sirens blazing. Come quietly so that you can catch him.
This is just, I have to give some comment on how ignorant this comes off. He doesn't know the difference between Iran and India. He doesn't know the difference between somebody from the Middle East to somebody from Asia, essentially. India has 3 times the population of America. When they had their blackouts, their energy problems, literally the amount of people impacted by that was the population of America. This guy was in the Navy, but he's never pulled out a geography book. It just really goes to show that it doesn't matter who you hate, who you are mad at. You're just going to go after them. And he obviously assumed that these were two men that were from the Middle East, Muslims that were illegal, yet they were highly educated here on visas working at Garmin.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements, I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts, and when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better. Notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Before we get into what happens with Adam Purinton, let's talk a bit about Suniana and Srinivas. Both of them had aspirations of coming to America and getting an education and working a career here. Srinivas was the first to come over. And when Suniana Dumala wanted to come over, she wanted a contact person there, someone that was from where she was from, which was Hyderabad in India. And she contacted her best friend, and her best friend's brother gave her a list of 4 names and said, here are some people you can contact who are from Hyderabad. You know, if you're over there and you want someone to talk to or help you out in some way, these are the people I would recommend. She just chose the first person on the list to call first, or actually to write to first. And he was Srinivas Kuchibotla. She was pleasantly surprised when he wrote her back. And so she gave him the task of, can you check on my application for university over there, and he did that. They just started writing back and forth, and before long, they started becoming rather smitten with one another, and it started getting serious. And so the first time they actually got to meet, she was not prepared for Srinivas because she stands about 5 foot tall, and he's 6 foot two.
He's almost as tall as me.
But personality-wise, she was pretty quiet, and she lived a pretty good life in India, but she didn't have any real life experience. So this is, I think, one of her major drives for coming over to the United States was to really establish herself as an independent person. And I think her parents were pretty supportive of that, but no one was more supportive than Srinivas. And they were married in 2012, by the way, and had dated since 2006. And in fact, Srinivas, who had two brothers, his dad really pushed the education aspect and said, you need to be educated, you need to get a career. And so one of the stories that came out of that was Srinivas's older and younger brother would often just run away when their dad would say, okay, it's time to work on your studies. And Srinivas would stay behind because he would do what his dad asked of him. It paid off because he graduated and was able to secure a good job as an engineer. He wanted not just that, but he wanted who would become his wife, Suniana, to be successful too. And she would say, what if they don't like me in terms of getting hired? And he would tell her, this is what you're here for. You can do it. And he really, really supported her. So from the get-go, this was a very good couple, very good bond. In fact, the only complaint that I could find that Suniana had, he would sometimes go to the bar, Austin's bar, after work and hang out with his work buddies. Sometimes he just wouldn't come home when he should have come home. And that's because he's having a good time. But other than that, this was a guy who very much loved and supported his wife, and she loved and supported him. She would make his lunch in the morning and send him off to work, you know, with a hug and everything. And then when he would come home, she said he would just burst through the door. And sometimes she would run and hide in a closet. He would call her nickname out, 90-90-90, and come looking for her. And then, he would open up the closet and he would find her. It's just a little flirty kind of game that they would play.
If you can't tell, he's a very goofy, outgoing guy and very playful.
Yeah, but he was very, he was much more reserved than Alok. Alok was known as more of a wild guy. There's a story out there how when Srinivas had shown up with his new car, he had gotten, I think it was a Mazda, Alok literally jumped up on the hood. He was so excited and dented the hood because he landed on it. And Srinivas was known as being very calm in the face of anything. And he just said, it's okay. We'll get it fixed. So Alok was much more of the crazy guy. But, you know, he met Alok because when he first came over, he wanted a roommate. When you're trying to go to university, even with if you have any kind of advantages with scholarships or what have you, you need to have somebody to help you with the rent. So that's how he met Alok, and they got along great. They were kind of like yin and yang in a lot of ways, but just close friends. And of course, they worked for Garmin, and Srinivas was very much involved with aviation systems. He was interested in planes, and he was interested in automating things that people used to do manually when they flew planes. In fact, when he first started working for the first company, which I think was in Iowa, his mentor said, this guy's better than I am. So Srinivas had a passion for what he was doing. The programming language he worked with was Python, and they said he was fluent in it. So this is a guy that, by all accounts, would skip lunch because he really wanted to complete his projects as quickly as possible and get them right. So if that meant skipping some meals, he would do it. He was just that passionate about his career, about the work that he was doing.
So him and his wife are both graduates, both have these good IT jobs that are high end, high paying, and they're trying to live out their dream, right?
Yeah, they end up buying a house that was $300,000. They walk through it, and there's a moment where he basically says something about children. That was something that Suniana really wanted. She wanted to have children with him. And the house they bought was actually that's a nice house, $300,000. And it was right near an elementary school. Before that, they lived in an apartment building. So you wonder, these are immigrants. They're from India. And we do have people in America who don't know how to deal with immigrants or just straight up don't like them. And what happened early on with the apartments was everybody in the apartment building basically treated them with nothing but kindness, except for an old man who got on the elevator one time with him and told Srinivas, you know, basically like, you immigrants or something, you know, just basically saying you don't belong here. When Suniyana expressed some concern like, you know, maybe we're not welcome here, Srinivas said, don't worry, he's an old grandpa. You know, it's fine.
But they would see shootings on the news. They would see hate crimes happening before their eyes. And she always had this reservation. Her husband would reassure her and hold her.
Yeah, Srinivas very much believed that if you put good out there, good comes back to you. And I think he's got good reason to think that, because he always approached people with a smile, always engaged people, and he got a lot of people to talk with him. I don't know that it's winning everyone over, but a lot of people really liked him. And even when they moved into this $300,000 home, he had people that came over and introduced themselves and welcomed him and his wife to the neighborhood. I mean, it just seemed like he was right. Embrace America, embrace your neighbors, embrace your coworkers, and everything is looking up. They have a nice home. They have a wonderful relationship. And he's got a visa and she has a visa. A quick explanation on this, though, is her visa is dependent upon his.
And when he's shot and killed, her status is now revoked.
But it's an automatic thing, right, Justin?
Yeah.
Because it's just tied in. He has an HB1 visa, right? Mm-hmm. He's the principal visa holder. Her visa depends on his. When he dies, then her status just basically, she's not a valid immigrant anymore. She will probably have to return home.
Yeah. So she's been victimized. Her husband's been murdered. And now she's facing deportation due to no action on her own. She's a database engineer. She has a good job. But now she's having to figure out what her next step is. By the way, their house and the neighborhood they lived in wasn't too far from where the attacker lived.
Yeah, I think they said it was about 5 minutes by car.
Yeah.
Suniyana is looking at deportation probably, but she does get some assistance from a congressman in Kansas by the name of Yoder. And it's like he steps in and helps her out. And a lot of people would say, wow, you did the right thing. But I'm not trying to say he's not doing the right thing, but I almost got the sense too that he understands the importance of the people who work for these businesses in Kansas. Don't you think that's a part of this, Justin?
Well, yeah, and I'm glad he stepped in, because these corporations need workers and they have tax incentives and all kinds of things to bring people in. So if they're being deported and attacked and whatever, they're not going to want to come here and work. I can only imagine if you read in the news that some Americans were in name whatever country and were gunned down at a restaurant, and then their surviving family members were deported. How would you feel about that? Would you feel welcome in that country? Would you want to go there?
Well, we know how people would feel about that, because relatives of Srinivas were actually talking about how people shouldn't travel to the United States anymore for work. It was dangerous. You could be shot and killed. And that's the way they perceive it over in India. And it's hard to blame them, because they lost someone they care a great deal about. So I guess by Yoder stepping in and saying, okay, we're going to handle this visa stuff, don't worry about it, it's what she needed. Because they, you know, no one can bring Srinivas back. And no one can help her pick up the pieces at this point. She's lost everything. So this is something that's very helpful. But on the other hand, they also have Adam Purinton, who, when he goes to his first hearing, he pleads not guilty.
Of course.
But that's almost like a standard answer, right? Mm-hmm. When you go to a hearing, it's almost like a foregone conclusion that that's what's going to happen. But his plea changes, doesn't it, Justin?
Yeah, it does. He gets legal representation and he gets to see the impact of what he's done. And I think he has a, I don't know if it's a change of heart, but he seems to understand what he's done now.
There's a little bit of a contrast here with the shooter we talked about earlier.
A little bit.
Yeah, because that other shooter was a KKK guy, you know, and then this shooter, who was Adam Purinton. And according to the neighbors, this was a guy who was a Navy vet. He had done a lot of different jobs. He was a dishwasher. He kind of did it all, but he had lived with his dad. And according to people who knew them, they said that Adam had a best friend and his best friend was his dad. But in 2015, his dad passed away from cancer. And they said that Adam's always been a drinker, but then after his dad died, it just got worse and worse. And he had two DUIs on his record. So anytime he was driving around, he was very careful when he drove. But directly after the shooting, when he ran home for a minute, he came flying into his cul-de-sac. And one of his neighbors turned to his wife and mentioned something about, wow, that shooting we just heard about? Watch, I bet it's him. Yeah. And he wasn't even serious, but it was just because Adam was acting unlike himself. Afterward, when people were asked about him, they said, we didn't think he was violent at all. And we're not even sure he was racist. He just seemed pathetic because he drank so much and he didn't take care of himself. Yeah. They said he looked way older than his years.
Yeah, I mean, he was in his early 50s, but I thought he was the same age as the KKK guy. They look similar ages in their photos. Life had really been hard on him. And unlike his family, unlike Fraser Glenn, they said that he never had very strong rhetoric. He never talked about hating people or anything. And they said he was a very caring person. So they were shocked when they heard about this. Unlike Fraser Glenn, where his family just assumed that that was a foregone conclusion.
There was a witness that said that he had said something disparaging about a black man on his street. They used an example of when he was getting his roof worked on. All of the workers were Hispanic, and he actually brought chairs out and drinks and talked with them some and seemed very friendly. So we don't really have a clear picture of just how racist this guy was. With all those witnesses at Austin's bar that said he said this and he said that, that's racist rhetoric. It's like, where does that come from? Is that just in you all the time? And when you're sober, you can keep that beast at bay? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is if you go and shoot people like this, you need to go to prison, right?
Well, yeah. And I guess his health was going downhill and he's an alcoholic. So yeah, alcohol gives you superpowers and cures cancer, apparently, in his mind. But he was also a little paranoid because he was going to the VA for medical assistance, but he assumed that the doctors there were out to get him, that they weren't doing anything for him, and he would make disparaging remarks about that. So this guy is just on a downward spiral where he's going to crack and snap at people. When you have hateful or violent ideation out there in the public, it's never good. Eventually, if you keep putting it out there, you're going to get somebody to believe it and they might act upon it. And it doesn't matter who it's coming from. It's considered threatening and divisive for a reason.
So we were talking about his plea and then it changed. He ended up changing his plea to guilty. And he had also contacted a neighbor and told his neighbor that he screwed up. The way I read it was he definitely seemed like he understood that what he did was wrong. I think maybe that's all the best that we could hope for out of this, because this guy was pretty screwed up. If the best we get is that he comes out and admits what he did, I don't know. I guess we'll have to take it. But unfortunately, you know, where do we get justice for Suniana?
Exactly. And she's been victimized. Alok has been victimized. Ian has been shot and victimized. There's ripple effects here. that happened to all these people. Ian has nerve damage in his hand, and the bullet, I guess, is still in his chest. They couldn't remove it, so there's that. Alok was walking on crutches for a very long time, going through rehabilitation. And sadly, when I look at Alok, you can see it in his eyes and his face that he's lost his best friend, and it's changed him. Both of them suffer from PTSD from the event. This is not something that just happens, that doesn't affect anyone in their community. And this is the reason why I wanted to talk about it, is because I work with all kinds of people. I work in IT. I work in Overland Park. I could have worked with these guys. I could have been sitting at that bar. It's only because I quit those jobs and started podcasting that I probably wasn't. That's how close to home this hit for me. But with these ripple effects, you know, go back to the first story. Reet was 14 years old, shot dead. His brother, how does a teenager deal with the death of a sibling? It's just insane. So he becomes depressed and suicidal. Their mom, Mindy, is trying to just hold this family together.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. How can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
For the question of justice, though, you kind of have to leave it up to the justice system to handle the attacker, the person who did all this harm, who killed. But what will you do? The thing about these two cases is both Mindy and Suniana both decide to do something. I don't know if it brings them justice so much as it brings them peace. What do they do, Justin?
Well, they actually met at an event where Suniana was speaking at, and Mindy approached her. There's not a huge population for the Hindu in Kansas, but there is a much larger Muslim population. So Muslim groups came out. Mindy was organizing a Christian group that was doing educational meets with the Jewish Center. So now we have the Jewish community, the Christians, Hindus, and Muslims all coming together, all trying to raise awareness, doing events like Ask a Muslim, Ask a Jew.
So Suniana and Mindy are both trying to raise awareness about these issues, about hate and about love. Meanwhile, the community reaches out to help. There's a GoFundMe started for Suniana. I read that over $700,000 had been deposited into it. And then Ian Grillot, he received some money too.
A non-for-profit called India House Houston raised $100,000 or a home. I've read it both ways. So he would have a place to live after this event.
Well, his injury was pretty serious, right, Justin?
Yeah. I mean, he still has functionality of his hand, but he's able to walk around. Like, he lucked out. He did have a collapsed lung. He's recovered very well physically, but mentally, it's not been easy for him. And you can hear it when he talks.
Well, he was honored because so many people that are fearful that there will be reprisals against them for being immigrants by Americans who don't want them here, they can look at someone like Ian or the other people that were at the bar that night who stepped up to try and help save Srinivas, and it gives them hope. It says, you know what? Not all Americans hate you. Not all Americans look down on you because you're different. a lot of Americans want you here. They're happy to have you around. They want to get to know you. They will try to save your life if something happens. And as Justin already said, I mean, when you have the Jewish community and the Muslim community and Christians all coming together to talk about love and hate, I mean, what else do you need? This is proof that you might have bad news. You might have some murders here or there, but the vast majority really want to come together.
And looking at Ian also, I mean, the guy looks like he's a really tall country boy. He's got a dog named Odin. You know, a lot of people wouldn't expect that from him. You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't just paint everyone with one stroke of a brush as, oh, well, that's what I think of that guy. Ian is this savior, this hero in this situation where he prevented further loss of life. There were signs in India saying, thank you, Ian. Thank you.
He chased a man who had already fired a number of bullets at some patrons in the bar he was at and was shot himself. So that is a hero. He was willing to risk his life to stop this man who had just killed somebody, essentially. As we said, Adam Purinton changed his plea to guilty. That is for 3 counts of premeditated first-degree murder. Now, the way I understand this, because he shot at 3 people, they're getting him first-degree murder charges here because his intention was to kill.
Exactly.
And that's just how it works in Kansas.
The shooter, Adam
Purinton,
was sentenced to over 77 years in prison, which he's 52 years old, so this is a life sentence. He'll be over 100 years old if he ever is eligible for parole. The prosecutors in the case charged him with federal hate crimes, which compounded his sentence and added additional years to it.
We had discussed what would they sentence this guy to, and you had brought up that possibly they could have sentenced him to death.
Yeah, I was a little surprised they didn't.
Do you think there was any kind of remorse shown by this guy that was taken into consideration, or did they just not feel the need to go in that direction with it? Because this is a hate crime.
It is. And I think if you compare and contrast it with the Jewish Community Center shooting, that man showed no remorse. He doubled down in court, and he has a long history of racism, violence, and is just a complete menace to society. Whereas Adam here, more or less a one-time event, it's a horrible, heinous event. He appeared to be somewhat apologetic in trial.
There are moments you look at him, and I don't even really think I'm fishing here, but you just look at him and there's just a sense of defeat. You know, some people hold on to their anger. Unfortunately, I really feel like this guy's rage was fueled by alcohol. I just hope that he's learned something here. I think we all hope that someone who is sentenced and is going off to prison for the rest of their lives, that they feel remorse, that they understand what they did wrong. They're reflecting on it. Maybe in some way he'll make some kind of amends. But really, this wasn't even what was driving us to do this episode, though, right? It was mostly about how people use violence without really understanding what they're using the violence against. I mean, they have these concepts, these ideations that they have in their head, but they really don't even know what they're doing. I mean, they're shooting at people they think are Jewish or from the Middle East, but they're not doing that. They're shooting at Christians or they're shooting at people from India.
Man, they don't even know what they're shooting at. They don't know what they're even attacking. And when I look at most extremist groups, the amount of hypocrisy and who even their intended targets are, and then they end up killing what anyone would assume their own people. It's just blind rage that is misguided. And in both of these cases, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even, it's repulsive to me that be such, I mean, I just look at both of them and I think you guys attacked people who add value to our society, whereas you do not. In the case of Frazier, I mean, the guy's his retirement, and then he goes after a 14-year-old. Just, what is that? And with Adam, he's an alcoholic who can't hold down a job and shoots people that are established, shoots people that are trying to build families, put their kids through college. Normal things that every American or every father or mother is trying to do in any country, really. This whole case has been one of the most emotional ones for me because of my past employments, what I do, where I've been, and I've eaten at that Austin's where this shooting happened. So this guy's dead to me. I hope that all the survivors, all the surviving victims, I'll be checking on them. I'll be looking for their updates. If they have GoFundMes, I'll donate some money. If there's ever a news story about one of them and an event they're doing, I might try to go attend that.
Yeah, I know that Suniana had said something in response to a question about the death penalty, and she's not real in favor of it, but she is also just letting the system do what it's going to do. I think she's just let that go, and she's focused on now and the future, and is a database developer for InTouch Solutions. Her company is very supportive of her because they said, if you need time off, you'll always have your job here. And they also helped her establish Forever Welcome. And the purpose of Forever Welcome is to highlight the human stories of immigrants so that people will understand that these are people. I know that sounds like a crazy concept, but it really is that simple. It's education. When you get to know somebody, it's not so easy just to label them and walk by them and not pay any attention. When you get to know their story, then it changes things. And I know when Justin and I talk about being affected by this case, it's because of Suniana Dumala, because she was so good at explaining what her life was before the shooting, what her hopes were, what the dreams were, what their accomplishments had been, how proud their families had been. They were planning children, but that all was destroyed because of the actions of one angry person. This initiative, Forever Welcome, is probably the right step because, again, when you start to learn about the stories of these people, I don't know how you can turn away. I'm sure there are people that can, but I think there are always people out there that when they're faced with the facts, it's going to be hard to turn their heads away at that point. Don't you think, Justin?
Absolutely. You sit two individuals down in a room and you're going to have people come to agreements. You're going to have two people understand each other. Whereas when you have an angry mob on one side and protesters on another, you're never going to have a dialogue. This is her effort to reach out and educate people. Mindy had established 7 Days. It's an event with the Jewish Community Center and the other groups. That was their whole point, is just to have meet and greets with different churches and other organizations to raise awareness, to educate people on the differences between religions and their beliefs. It's something so simple, but so needed. I've spoken with a lot of my ex-coworkers. I even spoke with Rabia at CrimeCon about what it's like to be a Muslim in today's world. And a lot of people say it's a little scary and that they do get looks. And it's something that I will at least try to be welcoming to everyone I'm around, no matter their skin color or religion. I will try to make that little extra effort when I'm out in public to smile at somebody or wave or just be kinder, because I don't know if somebody just sneered at them or made a comment under their breath or what they're going through in their day.
One thing that Suniana said that really got to me was she wished that she and Srinivas had been able to conceive a child before he died, because then she could look into the face of her child and see Srinivas.
Thank you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.